This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to Cruise News, your daily update on everything happening at sea. Visit cruisenews.io to see today's stories and sign up for email alerts.
Let's crack open today's sources because they really paint an incredible picture, don't they? The cruising industry seems to be operating at, well, two completely different speeds at the same time.
Yeah, it really does.
We've got the launch of this ultra-exclusive, high-end yachting from a huge hospitality brand, then major awards for a celebrated next-gen megaship, and finally, itinerary drops stretching way out to 2028, including, get this, a super sought-after celestial event.
It is a fascinating contrast in strategy, you know. On one side, you have companies defining luxury by deliberately rejecting big capacity. They're all about low density, absolute privacy.
Right.
And then on the other side, the mainstream market is absolutely flocking to these massive vessels that are maximizing scale by offering unique, really specific bucket list type experiences. Things that somehow make a 4,000 passenger ship feel personal. So the big takeaway today is what? That the industry is managing to cater to both the ultra rich and the experience chaser.
Exactly. And often using similar tools like really innovative design to pull it off.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with what might be the ultimate statement in ocean travel right now. Aman Resorts, globally known for their ultra luxury resorts, and now they're officially getting into yachting. Their first vessel, Aman Gaudi, is set to launch in spring 2027.
The specs here are, well, they're genuinely kind of shocking, and they tell you everything about the strategy. The vessel is 600 feet long. That's a significant size.
Yeah, pretty big.
Yet features only 47 suites.
Right.
Just 47.
Yeah.
Aman is optimizing purely for wealth and privacy, not packing people in. This positioning, I mean, it moves the whole thing closer to like fractional super yacht ownership than what we think of as traditional high-end cruising.
That low-density approach is such a clear statement, isn't it? And the design, it just reinforces that exclusivity. Aman Gaudi was conceived by Cynot Yacht Architecture and Design, and the sources are really clear. It's explicitly meant to look and feel like a super yacht.
Mm-hmm. The whole aesthetic is inspired by that minimalist Japanese ryokan architecture, you know, that classic serene in design.
Mm-hmm.
Focuses on indoor-outdoor harmony, clean lines.
And that aesthetic choice is crucial. Because Aman is basically porting its land-based philosophy directly onto the water. Every single suite, they say, will have floor-to-ceiling windows, spacious balconies, ensuring that connection to the ocean is just paramount.
Okay, and the amenities.
Well, on board, you've got four international restaurants, an intimate jazz club, their signature Aman spa, plus a dedicated Japanese garden for reflection, and a rear beach club for direct ocean access.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah.
But I think the most significant strategic detail here, maybe even beyond the fancy restaurants and the spa, is the sustainability commitment.
Exactly. And look, this isn't just an ecological choice anymore. It's basically a non-negotiable status symbol in the ultra-luxury world now. Aman Gaudi will use a hybrid propulsion system designed specifically to cut emissions, improve fuel efficiency.
For clients operating at this level, sustainability is mandatory, pretty much, even if it adds to the build cost. This vessel, it's being built at the T. Mariotti shipyard in Genoa, Italy. It signals that Aman is joining peers like, you know, Ritz-Carlton and Four Seasons in really defining this exclusive, high-tech, floating hospitality segment.
That dual-focus exclusive design paired with green tech, that's clearly setting a new benchmark for high-end travel. Okay, now, let's pivot. From the ultra-niche yacht market to the, well, highest levels of achievement in the largest cruise ship segment, we need to talk about Princess Cruises' flagship, Sun Princess.
Yeah, big news here. Sun Princess just nagged the Condé Nast Traveler 2025 Reader's Choice Award for #OneMegaCruiseShip. And get this, for the second consecutive year.
Wow, back to back.
For a vessel that only debuted in 2024, winning immediately like this, 2 years running, it really solidifies its status.
It's a massive ship, right? The Sphere-class flagship, 177,882 tons, carrying 4,300 passengers. So the question becomes, how does a ship that enormous manage to win awards focused on quality and guest experience? What are the strategic design choices that stop those, 4,300 guests from feeling overwhelmed?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the design seems fundamentally about managing that density and creating exclusive zones within the big ship. The sources highlight two key architectural features. First, there's the dome.
Okay.
It's a multi-level glass-enclosed entertainment venue, inspired by the terraces of Santorini, apparently. It transitions from this, relaxation space by day to a pretty dramatic performance venue at night.
Interesting. And the second feature?
That's the piazza. It acts as the architectural centerpiece. It's designed to maximize ocean views with the signature floor-to-ceiling windows. But, beyond just the architecture, they've innovated on the experiences themselves. The one that really jumps out at me is Spellbound by Magic Castle.
Yes, I saw that.
It's just brilliant strategic marketing, isn't it? Spellbound is an exclusive speakeasy. It merges magic and mixology. The irony is fantastic. On a ship with 4,300 people, the ultimate luxury they're selling is a secret, intimate room you actually have to work to find.
Ah, right.
They're selling exclusivity within the mass market.
They're selling personalized discovery, not just sheer capacity. And for those who want, actual structured luxury, there are over 1,500 balcony staterooms and suites, and that includes the Sanctuary Collection.
Right, that's their exclusive adults-only retreat. Comes with its own private restaurant and poolside venue.
Princess Cruises president Gus Antorcha, he rightly credited the crew's dedication as being integral to this success.
Sure, service is key. But the physical design is really what enables that high level of service on such a large scale. And this whole innovation package, well, it's the foundation for their fleet strategy. You see that noted with the recent debut of the sister ship, Star Princess, which carries forward that successful Sphere-class model.
That level of demand for quality experiences, even on huge ships, leads us perfectly into our final segment today. We're talking about itineraries that are so focused, so unique, they're selling out years ahead of time. Let's talk about the newly released 2027-28 sailings from Carnival Cruise Line.
Okay, this announcement is being driven almost entirely, it seems, by one specific item. And it just proves the huge value of event-driven travel, the total solar eclipse cruise.
This is where it gets really interesting for those experiential travelers out there. Carnival Cruise Line is offering an 11-day Carnival Journeys solar eclipse cruise. It's aboard Carnival Miracle, departs Dover, England on July 29th, 2027. And the key day, the viewing day, is August 2nd. They plan to be positioned strategically at sea, somewhere near the Strait of Gibraltar, for optimal viewing of the total solar eclipse.
And the timing couldn't be better. This particular eclipse, it's forecasted to be one of the longest in recent decades. Carnival Cruise Line president Christine Duffy, she made it pretty clear, calling it the most fun way to witness the phenomenon.
Hey, Matt.
And remember, the 2026 eclipse sailing they offered on Carnival Legend, it sold out almost instantly. So the demand signal for these kinds of astronomical events is just extreme.
Okay, so if the ultimate headline here is the eclipse, what does the rest of the 2027-28 deployment strategy look like for Carnival Miracle? This ship seems to be the linchpin for their global adventure offering.
It really is traveling globally. Carnival Miracle starts its 2027 season on March 29th. It'll homeport in Galveston, that's part of Carnival Cruise Line's four-ship Texas deployment, offering various Caribbean and Panama Canal cruises from there.
Got it.
Then it repositions to Europe on May 6th via a 14-day transatlantic voyage ending in Lisbon. After spending the summer based in Dover for those European itineraries, including the Eclipse cruise, of course it then homeports in Civitavecchia, that's Rome, starting September 29, 2027, for a series of Mediterranean sailings. I mean, that's a massive commitment to variety for one ship.
Okay, given that really ambitious global strategy for Carnival Miracle, what about their bread and butter? Are Carnival's decisions to keep the Florida ships Carnival Paradise and Carnival Lation on pretty much the same schedules a missed opportunity? Are they not innovating enough for their core market there?
That's a fair critical question, actually.
Oh, you.
And the sources do reflect a bit of a mixed passenger reaction.
Hmm.
Well, there's obviously huge excitement for the European voyages and especially the solar eclipse.
Right.
Some passengers have voiced concerns about, let's say, limited itinerary innovation coming out of long-standing U.S. home ports like Jacksonville and Tampa.
So Carnival Paradise just continues its usual 4 to 6 day cruises from Tampa, and Carnival Elation keeps doing its 4 and 5 day cruises from Jacksonville, mostly sticking to reliable ports like Celebration Key, Half Moon Cay, Cozumel, places like that.
Pretty much, yeah.
It feels like the innovation budget maybe is being spent on specific ships like Miracle and these specific big events rather than kind of refreshing the itineraries across the entire fleet.
That seems to be the strategy. Carnival Cruise Line emphasizes that the sheer diversity of their large fleet, plus all their numerous U.S. home ports, allows them to bring variety and adventure to the overall season, even if some core regional routes remain consistent. They're basically relying on Miracle to deliver that bucket list travel, while the fantasy class vessels maintain the popular, reliable short trips.
Okay. So what does this all mean when we sort of synthesize this information? We've seen the growth of these hotel brands redefining luxury on the sea with the hyper-exclusive Amangati.
Yeah.
We've seen continuous innovation focused on managing density and creating exclusivity, even on the massive award-winning mega ships like Sun Princess.
Right.
And finally, the immense popularity of highly specialized experiential cruising like Carnival Cruise Line's Solar Eclipse sailing.
Yeah, today's news really confirms that the industry is selling precision.
Right.
It's either precision of privacy and service, like we see with Oman Resorts, where the ship itself is this highly controlled, exclusive environment.
Right.
Or it's precision of timing, like with Carnival, where the whole value proposition is being exactly where you need to be on August 2nd, 2027, near the Strait of Gibraltar, to witness a very specific, time-sensitive event. Both strategies deliver really focused value to their different market segments.
It's a remarkable study, really, in how to optimize a customer experience. Whether that traveler wants silent solitude or wants to be part of this huge, shared, historic moment.
And that leads us to our final thought for you, the listener, to consider today. Given how incredibly quickly these solar eclipse cruises sell out, and seeing the success brands like Princess Cruises are having with highly immersive signature activities like Spellbound by Magic Castle, how important will these ultra-specific, maybe non-traditional onboard activities or celestial events become in driving bookings for the 2028 and 2029 seasons?
Interesting question.
Is the future of cruising becoming less about the geographical destination itself and maybe more about the planned, highly marketable experience that happens on a specific ship on a specific day? Something to mull over until our next deep dive.
Thanks for listening to Cruise News. Visit cruisenews.io to catch up on the latest updates and sign up for free email alerts.